Will we see a nuclear war or won't we? My best guess is we're going to see limited exchange somewhere. I just don't understand. If I were to sit back and just watch geopolitics, as you do, from a position of picking up a little here and a little there, the alt news and the mainstream media news and independent sources and things, I at this point can honestly say I can come up with no other conclusion except Putin is not his own man. They have been fighting in Ukraine now for over 900 days. And if you look at the line of conflict right now, it is not much different than it was when they began. So I think that he's been told, no, you do not flatten Ukraine. You do not advance to the west. They could have. So we have attacks on the civilian population of Donetsk again. Yesterday, another Ukrainian attack. They're still able to lob artillery shells into Donetsk, and they killed a pregnant woman and I guess several other people. And look what's going on in Kursk. What is that all about? How in the hell can the Russian intelligence, the military intelligence, not understand that they were about to be attacked en masse in the Kursk region? That's one of the biggest failures in military intelligence I have ever heard of. How can that happen? So there's another indicator that things are not what you'd think with Russia. And now Zelensky has blown up his troops, all three bridges that lead into the Kursk region from Russia, so the Russians can't rapidly move men and materiel into the area of conflict. Zelensky says he's going to keep the area of conflict in Kursk, and I guess he's going to use it as a bargaining chip. This is all really crazy stuff. And the simple fact that Zelensky is still alive should tell you all you need to know. All right, here we go. The young lady from New England is back. Never mind, the power was brutally chopped off by a thunder and lightning storm. She's here.
I am.
Yeah, two words out of her. All right. It's like pulling teeth. I have to bring needle-nose pliers along when I interview them. All right. No, it's not true. She's actually a chatterbox, and you can't shut her up sometimes. Okay. Now, when we started doing this, was it 15 years ago now?
It seems like it.
Mike Yeadon, the former chief science officer of Pfizer, and a long career, and certainly on the inside of dealing with viruses and trying to come up with vaccines to fight them and all that, started out like a real bright light in this ugly, dark firmament of COVID lying and deception and deceit. He really came on strong, and we liked Mike. We still like him as a person, but his position has changed from common sense, really fierce logic. Well, how would you describe it now?
Like someone who's gone off the rails.
Absolutely gone off the rails. Was he told to go off the rails? Did someone threaten him? We'll never know that. Maybe that's a little melodramatic. But something has happened to Mike. And he is now fully in the there are no such things as viruses camp. What does that say about the 30-some years he spent as a viral scientist? Come on. Anyhow, it's really crazy. There's a little short clip here. It's about 3 minutes. We're going to play it for you, and then we might stop it, talk a couple times. But it's Mike's latest. We'd like to present all sides, so it's Mike's latest position. And some of you long-term listeners may remember in the beginning how strong and, as I said, fiercely logical he was about attacking this lie, this terrible, terrible concoction of a geobiological weapon of death. So there we go. All right, here's Dr. Mike Yeadon and his latest position on what's what.
Watch what steak does to your gut.
Hold on.
The carnivore diet.
Damn it.
Why do people lose weight so rapidly?
Commercials. I'm getting sick of the steak commercials, too. The one about, why does steak ruin your gut? All right, so that's gone. Now, here's the other one. Now, here's Mike. All right.
3 weeks, and so you probably won't have heard it, but it all fits when I say it. You know that there was a, you know, Team Hero, the alternative media people, not me, the people who are 100 times more famous around the world. I won't mention them at this particular point, but you all know who I'm thinking, so many doctors who are Americans.
Yes.
And as soon as the pandemic arrived, they came up with early treatment for COVID-19, didn't they? And they pushed and pushed and pushed. At first I thought there was a virus, and so it was great that they were coming out with treatments. Then later, when I realized there wasn't, I thought, why are they pushing this stuff? I thought, they're pushing harmless placebos on the worried well, and they're providing a belief structure that really is a pandemic. I thought, why would these clever people be going out of their way to sell you this stuff? And it's like, unfortunately, it's much worse than that. One of the center stage drugs that they want you to take, ivermectin, is one of the most violent fertility toxins I've ever come across.
Now, that statement in and of itself should raise an eyebrow instantly. Ivermectin, there have been billions of doses of ivermectin given to human beings. I have never seen anything of a negative sense in terms of reproductory capabilities of humans being in any way affected by ivermectin. I've never heard that. So that's totally new to me. It is largely judged to be, if not the, one of the safest pharmaceutical drugs ever made. Ever. Any thoughts on
this?
That's
true. Yeah. Well, I think the argument he's putting forth, and I've heard this from a few people, is that it was designed to be to disrupt fertility in, well, Africans primarily, in third world countries, cut down on the population growth. But if that was its intended purpose, I would say it's failed miserably, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, but here's the point. What is the intended purpose of the COVID vaccine? And for all we know, the virus as well. It's destructive
right.
of the reproductive system in men and women. It's catastrophically destructive. So what's he talking about
here?
Well,
but he's also
the only good
arguing
drug?
That there is no virus. He believes that this is nothing more than the flu relabeled.
Well, he's saying
and,
that.
At this late stage, I think, you know, if you really believe that, you really haven't been paying attention.
Well, we know they did rename a lot of flu cases COVID. That is a fact.
They did. They did mislabel them. That part of it was abused. The PCR test was abused. But people who have encountered and had, you know, close encounters with this virus, have suffered from it or seen other people suffer with it, you'll know it's not a common cold. It can leave quite a mark on a person's physiology. And we're still...
It apparently does, yes.
We're still watching. We don't know what the full extent is. I mean, if this is inducing prion disease, well, we may not see that for another couple of years. I mean, we are seeing it to some degree already.
Oh, yes.
But it may be that everybody who...
Growing fast.
It may be that everybody that encounters this virus is at risk of developing CJD or some other form of prion disease.
That's an absolute certainty. On the possibility table, friends, don't dismiss that. We don't
know
yet.
To say
yet.
Nothing of this, the cancer risk that is clearly correlated with exposure to this.
Myocarditis, pericarditis, CJD from prion proteins, kidney failure, turbo cancers, and he's going off on ivermectin here? It makes no sense. It's not logical. And as I said twice, he was fiercely logical in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the injections destroy female reproductive capability, destroy male reproductive capability. We know this. Why isn't he talking about that?
Well,
all right. Here we go.
And I didn't know this because, like you, you probably didn't think to do the deep research, and I didn't. So someone contacted me a few weeks ago with a bloody great dossier of papers that go back from its discovery, and is unquestionably at around the doses you're being required, you're being suggested to take in rats and rabbits, and in some limited studies in humans, it reduces the ability to conceive and to grow babies to term, and doesn't it fit?
Well, Dr. Yeadon, Mike, what about the COVID injections? What about this Great. Vaccine that is not a vaccine by any measure? What about that? What about Dr. Arne Burkhardt's work? What about all those
who have
been
involved
with...
I would say, what about the virus that was concocted in a lab?
I was getting there.
That's
yeah.
what he won't talk about.
No. And you can get the virus, and you're almost guaranteed to get it if you get the vax. That's the cruel
oh, yes.
irony of it.
It's a negative efficacy. That is well established. The more doses, the more likely you are to contract the virus and harbor the virus and, possibly indefinitely. You will just be yeah. a chronic carrier of it and never get rid of it.
And the people are getting it 4 and 5 and 6 times. There's no limit on how many times you can become infected, whether you're injected or not. So what about that, Mike? Isn't that something you should spend your time and use your publicity platform here to present, rather than tee off on ivermectin, for goodness sakes? And if ivermectin was definitely involved in curtailing reproduction in human beings, wouldn't the feds have not fought it so vigorously in the beginning and just let it go out there? And yeah, go
That's
ahead,
right.
ivermectin, use it. Think about it.
That's right.
They really went after ivermectin. No joke. Just like hydroxy. Same thing.
Well, all right, Paul Merrick and Pierre Corey there, just as we discussed the other night, lost their board certifications.
Right.
For, espousing that treatment, which was highly effective. We had Nurse Anne on the program talk about how when ivermectin came on the scene, things started to turn around in terms of how many people were dying.
And don't forget the stories about people literally in critical condition in the hospital. We just had one of those not long ago, too. A tale.
Oh, we've had many.
How the family went in there and actually put it in the guy's mouth. He was dying. And within a day or two, he was almost normal.
There's
it was
been
a miraculous
many stories like
return.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's some more.
Doesn't it fit? Why did this it's there's nothing that's major on the world stage that's accidental, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Well, I would agree with that. That's correct. Nothing that's mm-hmm. major on the world stage, scientifically, medically, health, geopolitically, military, doesn't matter. Economically, it's all controlled. That's true.
That's the problem. And so now you know there's nothing major on the world stage that's accidental. Who put ivermectin in there? Well, the perpetrators did.
Did they? Did they?
The perpetrator, Big
That's
Al
not
Borla
my recollection.
And Stefan Bonsell put ivermectin out there and got everybody taking it so it could reduce fertility in human beings and help with the population.
Yeah, I saw
reduction.
It on the evening news every night.
I don't know. I don't know what happened to Mike here.
And why did they put it there? It's like, if you don't get jabbed and avoid impacts on your fertility, a good chunk of you will take ivermectin instead.
So now he has finally mentioned that the vaccine impacts fertility negatively. All right. But so does ivermectin. No, Mike, this is no measurement. You cannot put ivermectin on the same table with those deadly vaccines. No way.
No.
It's worse. And then I'll stop talking about this because I haven't written about it yet. But it's on my mind.
That's good.
There are lots of other supplements that the worried well take. And again, I had thought it was mainly a money-making business. All right, a money-making business. They'll sell you K2 or whatever it is. There's loads of things I'd never heard of. You look in the health, so-called health food store, my wife will often ask me, what will this do? I've said, I've never heard of it. I was originally a biochemist and toxicologist. I've never heard of it. have to look it up. It's real. It does exist. But so I thought they were just flogging benign placebos to the worried well, just to steal money off them. Unfortunately, it's not so. Many of the supplements, including most of the really famous ones, hamper the elimination from your body of ivermectin.
Now, if there is such a thing as conspiracy theory in science and medicine, that's one of them. So mm-hmm. Now we're supposed to believe that our trustworthy supplements like zinc and selenium and all that hamper your body's ability to eliminate ivermectin from it. When we've got this whole world of information proving that these vaccinations are not vaccinations at all, they are bioweapons and they are deadly. Death. Dozens of different ways that they will kill over time, these shots. And yet he's talking about supplements, quercetin, bromelain, NAC, are now the enemy? Well, this goes hand in hand with the list of supplements that the FDA wants banned over here.
Coincidentally, that's right.
There's no coincidence. He's putting this out there. You watch, they're going to pull that list up and start demanding that these dangerous supplements, and he'll write something up and they'll probably cite that, are going to harm people.
Yeah.
This is really unbelievable.
So if you're a person that thinks, well, I'm going to take care of my health and not have the jabs, I've got this ivermectin that'll protect me, and I've got all these other supplements, and those supplements stop your body eliminating ivermectin. It's a drug.
Well, why would your body want to eliminate ivermectin when it is a truly miraculous aid to help people regain their health and their lives? This doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's extraordinarily effective. I mean, it is foreign to the body. The body does have to get rid of it.
Well, it's a pharmaceutical, of course. Of course.
But for most people, it's a lifesaver. You know, the one exception is if you have that MDR1, multidrug-resistant 1 gene, where you might have trouble with that P-glycoprotein. It's essentially a pump that pumps this out of the cell. That's how the cell eliminates it. And it can be a problem for some people. But in the vast majority of people, this thing has really brought them, in some cases, from the brink of death. Quickly.
Absolutely. Correct. No exaggeration there at all. All right, here.
A negative drug-drug interaction. It's like, this can't be coincidence, folks. It's not a coincidence.
Well, Mike, you're teeing off on supplements that billions of people take with no side effects is a bit of a strange coincidence right there, too, when the feds are declaring war on supplements, which they always do. If something's good and valuable and beneficial to your health, they'll
That's right.
they'll make it a prescription-only item. They did the same thing in Europe, in the UK.
Yep.
So there were several of these...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you still can't even get ivermectin in places like Australia.
No. You can't even ship it in there. You're running a big risk if you try. It's illegal.
Right.
For all of you listening in Oz, you know, we really sympathize with you people. You really paid a terrible price in this whole horror. Now listen, coming up, the audience will begin to respond to some of his declarations. And that in and of itself is kind of frightening. You'll hear. Here we go.
Health supplements that the papers specifically showed were what's called P-glycoprotein inhibitors, and ivermectin is secreted using P-glycoprotein pathways. And it was like, oh my God, and we have ivermectin in the bathroom cabinet and all the PGP inhibitor supplements in the kitchen cupboard. We threw them all in the bin.
Wow.
So most supplements are PGP. P-glycoprotein. And so
no,
he threw all...
No.
That's what he's
no,
just saying.
No, they're not.
Yeah, well, you heard him say it. I can repeat
well,
it.
Well, he's inferring that, or implying that some of the supplements that people are taking are inhibiting that P-glycoprotein pathway for eliminating ivermectin from the cell. Well, maybe some of them are, Which ones? It's probably a list of pharmaceuticals more so than any supplements people are taking. Mm-hmm. Some of the botanicals, like the polyphenols, may inhibit the P450 enzyme, CYP450 enzymes. But the P-glycoprotein, no. No.
Okay, there we go.
PGP inhibitor supplements in the kitchen cupboard. And we threw them all in the bin.
Wow.
I know.
I'm gobsmacked by the ivermectin thing. I mean, that's a real shock. But I think what it shows is Albert Pike's famously said, you know, when they want a hero, we will supply them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
During the whole plandemic.
What the hell does Albert Pike have to do with anything? God, that's the interview person talking.
The fake pandemic.
Yeah.
There were various freedom fighters that you've hinted at, particularly American doctors who emerged apparently as heroes for our side, that they too were questioning the system and they were fighting back. The ones that get prominence are always working for the enemy.
That's the point. Is without naming individuals, there are certain people who I would have regarded professionally as my peers, pretty much. That they've grown large organizations, the purpose of which is now absolutely clear to me.
Well, okay. There was another clip. This is not the same clip that I played the first time. Is it?
No, it's the only one I've seen.
All right. I thought there was another one. But anyway, he made a couple statements somewhere recently that, you know, there are no viruses, and the audience went wild. Yeah, cheering.
Well, good luck.
Exactly. But that's where Mike Eden is now. There are no viruses. Never mind what was created in the labs at, in China?
Well, and that many, many people have put great effort and time into uncovering. There are a pile of evidence now that, you know, where this thing originated from, who was involved. And the fact that this is not your common cold.
No, ma'am. Okay. We're going to move on now, and we have been telling you for years that you really need to be careful. If you're vaxxed, you need to be careful about being around the unvaxxed, because the unvaxxed are more likely to be carrying, potentially, viruses and bacteria and other issues that you won't have an immunity to fight against like you used to if you're vaxxed. So that's not good. And the unvaxxed certainly don't want to be around those who are vaxxed, because they are being conflicted by all kinds of problems, not the least of which is the deadliest thing that humankind has ever created, the spike protein. And they're shedding it all the time. All right, here's
a
little video.
The shedding doesn't end. I should preface this by saying we've played these two videos in the recent past, sometime in the first part of this year. And it has to do with shedding, and it does involve the effect of shedding on women with this really abnormal heavy menstrual bleeding that seems to come out of nowhere, and how ivermectin in both of these cases resolved the issue rather quickly. That still is going on. We don't hear about it as much as we did when the shots were first rolled out. But there
Correct.
Was a woman in a group today, and I almost couldn't believe it. She had an event. She cited some possible exposures that she had. She really didn't know why it was happening. But she had the heavy bleeding and followed by shedding the decidual cast, which means the entire lining of the uterus comes out in one belt swoop, and was rather puzzled by it and had not heard of all the women that had been affected in this way, you know, since the rollout of these shots, both vaxxed and unvaxxed.
Right.
So it is still happening. I don't know why we're not hearing about it as much, because the shedding is still happening. I don't know if women are developing some sort of tolerance for the exposure, or, you know, that's hard to know.
Well, it's never really talked about in the MSM. We know that. It's just not a subject on their menu. It'll be in the all news world.
Dr. James Thorpe.
Go ahead.
Dr. James Thorpe and several other doctors. I think Christiane Northrup was in there. And who was the young woman? Tiffany Parato. They've done two papers so far. They're waiting on the second one to be published. Mm-hmm. But their first study entailed, I think it was 3,900 unvaxxed women. And they compiled, they did a survey where they asked them about this bleeding. And 83% of them replied that they were within 6 feet of a vaxxed person when they had this type of occurrence. And 71% of them had the symptoms appear within 1 week of that exposure. But this, this decidual cast is a very violent expulsion of the uterine lining. And in recorded history, they'd only had 41 instances of that over the course of 119 years that they'd been record keeping. And since the rollout of the shots...
I've never heard that. That's astonishing.
There was a total of 292 cases out of 6,000 women reporting it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So don't tell me the spike protein isn't toxic to women's reproductive organs.
Oh, it's worse than that. It's
and
toxic to
ivermectin will mitigate the devastating effects of that, and now Mike Eden is telling you it's poison? I don't think so.
Something's changed about him radically. That's all I can say. All right. Here's someone talking about shedding is real. Here we go.
Oh, we're live. Tell us your name.
My name is Marie.
Marie. Okay. So this is about shedding. And
yes.
Shedding is real. So... did you take the COVID-19 shot?
I did not, no.
Did not. Mm-hmm. You have an injury story as well, don't you?
I do. So back in the fall of 2018, I took a flu shot, and it just so happened that I had some blood work following that within a week or two. And it turned out that I had an extremely high thyroid antibody. So I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's shortly after the vaccine. So that was kind of my first clue that maybe those things were not as safe as they claimed to be. So I started searching a lot of that. And so when COVID came around, I became a little bit suspicious that maybe this was a little too rushed to market. And so I didn't take the vaccine, but my husband did. He had the two shots of the Pfizer vaccine in, I believe it was April of 2021. And shortly after that, I had this massive, massive bleeding happen to the point where I was weak. I struggled with just going downstairs, for example. I would look at stairs and go, if I pass out in a staircase, I mean, I can't imagine, the damage that you do with your body rolling down the stairs. So it started putting a lot of things in question when you go through that amount of blood loss. And at first, my doctor didn't believe me. It was like, no, I don't, I haven't heard of that, Marie, like, no. And then, so he started me on all sorts of hormone therapy to be able to stop the bleeding. So at first, it was 10 days of progesterone. It stopped it during the time that I was taking it, but as soon as I got off of it, the whole thing started over again, and for weeks on end, I would bleed some more. Then he put me on the pill, so I was on the pill for 3 weeks, and of course, when you get off the pill, the bleeding starts again, as it should be, but then it kept on going, and finally, I'm like, what am my recourse at this point? And it just... crazy situation. My husband goes on a business trip to Seattle, comes back, and I think it was sometime in July or August. He comes back so sick, and I'm like, oh, for sure you got COVID. You know, you're on an airplane, you went to meet a bunch of people over there. So because a lot of people like myself who were a little bit like, we need some therapies if we're not going to get a shot, how do we get out ourselves from getting really sick? So I got the ivermectin, so I had that in my back pocket in case something happened. So when he came back really sick, I gave him some ivermectin. I gave myself some ivermectin in case he was going to get me sick. And lo and behold, 2 days later, bleeding completely stopped.
After the ivermectin?
Completely stopped. I kid you not. It was like a miracle. It was, and the more I researched it afterwards, because I told my doctor, I'm like, how is this possible? And then it came out, and I forget when it was, but they figured, probably I think it was the following year, where the ivermectin somehow binds to the spike proteins or prevents it from docking or something of that nature. And so I'm like, well, that...
You want to step in on that real quick? How the mechanism of action?
There's several that have been elucidated. Preventing the binding of the spike protein to the ACE2 or, you know, the spike will also bind to the estrogen receptor.
And also bind to fat cells.
It binds to a long list of receptors, the ACE2 being the one how it gets in and then it's able to replicate. But it does also bind to the estrogen receptor and, activates it, essentially.
Yep. Okay.
So if you can prevent that, I mean, you know, this abnormal cellular signaling.
Yeah.
You're preventing its biological action, so.
All right, well. The whole thing is that for somebody of Dr. Mike Eden's stature to tee off on ivermectin after all of this time and all the data, anecdotal and otherwise, and ivermectin is now being shown to be a mechanism, positive mechanism in other non-COVID issues, lots of them.
Yes.
It's extraordinary what this drug can do. All right, here we go.
Why it maybe it works so effectively to stop what was going on. Now, I still don't know from everything that I've read whether it's damage to the pituitary gland or it's kind of an attack on the lining of the uterus. There's still so much unknown about that phenomena. That's what happened.
Even now today.
I went back after the ivermectin and went back to a completely different, typical cycle for 2 years. A lot of my friends were like, well, Marie, you're getting up close to that age, and so maybe you're perimenopausal. Same thing, my doctor said that too, and I was like, okay, that's kind of weird that I got a regular period for 2 years after that happened. So I was not in that phase when it happened.
Your husband, does he understand now not to take any more of the COVID
shot? He stopped. He never took any boosters after that because I made him realize that, A, there were a lot of risks for him to take it because we started getting a lot of reports on the myocarditis. But then I said, it seems like I'm very allergic to a lot of things just naturally. I'm allergic to so many plants, some foods. And I was like, if I'm this sensitive, maybe you should stop taking these kind of shots because I'm going to get injured again. So he's never taken another mRNA shot after that. So.
All right. Do we want to continue to the end of this one, or is that pretty much it?
Oh, that's about the crux of it.
Okay. Well, it's ludicrous. What Yeadon is saying.
Well, I think as time goes on, people are exposing themselves for who they are, they're on.
This has to be coming from the dark side. This anti-ivermectin thing. Sure. All right, here's another one on shedding. Let's take a listen.
Well, Lori.
Okay,
tell us your name, please.
My name is Karen Williams.
And this is called shedding because you believe that you have been shed on.
Yes.
Tell us the story.
Okay, so my first instance was actually before the vax was released. I was flying back from Ireland, and maybe TMI, but I had just started my cycle before I left. But I bled for 5 weeks after that. And the day I got back, I had a gallbladder attack, which I don't know whether that was related or not. But I know I've been seeing a whole lot of gallbladder removal since the vax was released amongst my friends and family. But then I was taking care of an elderly woman that in her home. I didn't leave for the first 6 months after the vax was... No. After the vax was released. But then the first time I went out, I went into Lowe's for 5 minutes, went in, got the thing I wanted. The employees that I had contact with were, you know, they had the masks and the gloves. And by the time I got out to the car, both my son and I had a massive headache. It progressed. I ended up with dizziness, balance issues, concentration and focus issues. And by focus, I mean, not only could I not focus on a task, but I had trouble focusing my eyes. And I'd been hearing all of these stories, you know, about the shedding before, and I hadn't been part of it because I had been sequestered away. But so everybody had been talking about the pine needles. So I stumbled outside to find, you know, pine needles from the yard and make myself some tea. And I was having trouble focusing my eyes, having trouble finding them. And I mean, I do herbs. I've studied edible wild plants since I was 7. So it took me way longer than it should have. And then by the next morning, I had the crippling fatigue, heart palpitations. It felt like my heart would just beat out of my chest. And then depression and anxiety. And I hadn't suffered from that in years and years and years. And this was just all overnight. And then every time, it would take 2 weeks to clear it out. Every single time I went out from then on for 2 years, exact same symptoms. And then I would have these weird, like, prickly sensations that happened just in, like, small patches here and there all over my body. Like, it would be one here and then one here and then one over there. And those are the very last symptom to clear, and they can take months to clear. And sometimes the prickly sensations will be like an itching or crawling sensation. Always day two, I...
Wouldn't these be obviously neurological things involving a spike? The high sensitization of these people, some people, not everyone, when they're shed upon, feels it. They don't react necessarily immediately, but the transmission, the vectoring, is going on, whether they notice it or not. Now, this woman happens to notice it. She's been very sensitized. But not everyone is. But that doesn't mean you're not getting vectored with this spike from the vaxxed. Simple.
I feel like I'm dying and pray that I do. I almost...
That is a hell of a statement right there. Shedding hit her so hard that she actually made that statement. I'm going to go back here and see if I can hear.
And pray that I do. I almost feel like there's a spiritual component to it. But my head feels like it's going to explode. My heart feels like it's going to pound out of my chest. And as it progressed through time, it got to where it would be skipping beats, or I would have an irregular heartbeat. And I literally feel like I'm going to die with it. And I finally ended up going to a healing service at my best friend's church and had them pray for me. And it took 3 times. I've had it happen twice since, but it's not every time I go out now. But it's just crippling. For 2 years, for 2 weeks, I'd be in bed too fatigued to do anything. I've quit cooking. I've quit cleaning the house. I might sweep the floor once a month. I might mop it once every 3 months. bathing once a week. I might wash dishes once a week. I mean, it's just I have no energy. I'm not having the crippling headaches, and I still sometimes have the heart issues, but it's not as severe. But it's just, it made my life a living hell. It was a nightmare.
You're not the first person to talk about these symptoms, so you're not alone. A lot of people talk about, even when they just say cancer to someone.
Yeah.
And they feel the fuzziness and their hands start tingling and it just starts, you know. We hear this a lot.
I met somebody in a Walmart parking lot to sell something on Facebook Marketplace. It wasn't there 5 minutes. He handed me the money, I handed him the item, and I left. And it's happened again. I mean, I go into the dollar store for 5 minutes to pick up a gallon of milk, and I'm in bed for 2 weeks. It's just...
If you can imagine human exhalations, the amount of air you take in and expel, if that were colored and you could see it, you would be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
How it goes out and hangs around you 15, 20 feet. And when you have 100 people in a certain space passing through it, it is full of their exosomic exhalations. Full. And it'll get you. You may not feel it like this lady, but I don't want Spike in me under any circumstance. And I can hardly say that I go out, mask and all, and don't get it. It'll get in my hair, it'll get in my clothes.
Oh, it's unavoidable.
That's right. But you
can do is mitigate how much you get.
Keep it minimized as much as possible. And the supplements are wonderful, many of them. They do prevent spike binding. That's clearly what they're out there for, and it's been talked about, and there have been papers out. Ivermectin is the most, probably the most necessary thing of all in this catastrophic annihilation of human beings.
Well, I would say if there is an antidote, this is probably it, and it's the closest thing that I can see. I mean, it the speed at which it can turn somebody around is
Agreed.
Remarkable.
Totally agree. Well, who was it? The husband was dying, and the family went in. They weren't allowed to give him ivermectin. They actually stuck it in his mouth when the nurses were away.
Yeah.
And
we've
it turned that guy
like
around
that.
In 1 or 2 days, and they
yeah.
couldn't believe it. All right.
It's absurd. I mean, and the thing is, they knew that mRNA sheds before they released it, and they did it anyway. I mean, I've studied vaccines for over 30 years because of my childhood vaccine injury, you know, but so I knew ahead of time, but I never expected it to be this bad.
Now, we should also point out that she was shed upon, she got spiked, but we now believe, and there's solid evidence to support it, that in all likelihood the mRNA information packets are also being
yeah.
shed. And that would explain
yeah.
why she was in bed for 2 months. A normal exposure to spike probably wouldn't do that. I'm just speculating here. But if you got spike and you got mRNA from whomever, that means the mRNA goes into your body in minuscule amounts, but enough to continue your body's production of spike. So you're going to constantly have a source of it. And that could knock somebody out for months. I could see that. So that may be
verification. I think she's probably just very highly allergic to the spike.
To begin with. Well, yes.
And there may be, I would say, probably from her description, a little bit of porphyria going on there.
You're the only one talking about that, and you're right. That should be a front and center topic. It's not, and bringing it up here has opened a lot of people's eyes to the possibility. Porphyria. Go ahead.
Well, that's when, you know, your blood is destroyed. The heme needs to be replaced. And also the body needs to manufacture heme to detoxify.
Right.
And so there's a demand for heme. And if people with porphyria, and there's several different types, they can't make heme fast enough to deal with the toxicity and or replace the blood that's being destroyed. and they will suffer like this. It can be very painful. You can get, neurological symptoms from it. You can get right. extreme abdominal pain, liver pain, and there's even a cutaneous form where you will get blisters on your skin, particularly the skin that's exposed to light, because the porphyrins accumulate in the skin and they're toxic.
Right. All right, here's just a little bit more. Okay, I got it set up. Here we go.
I mean, it's in effect a self-disseminating vaccine.
All right, let me back that up. She said something important there.
Her experience, never expected it to be this bad. I mean, it's in effect a self-disseminating vaccine.
Got it? Self-disseminating vaccine. From the vaxxed to the unvaxxed. And if she picked up mRNA and spike, you can see the syndrome that she'll be fighting in her own body.
Is there anything else you want to add to this or tell the people?
The main things that I've done that I found that work really well is the ivermectin, which of course, is taboo, but I took the horse paste and that would, like a pea-sized amount, and that would clear the worst of the headache.
Wait, did you actually take the track to supply horse paste?
I did. Yes.
Fascinating. How was that?
It tastes nasty, but within a half an hour, my headache is down to manageable.
Interesting.
And the anxiety goes down, the depression goes down, the heart rate goes back to normal. Within a half an hour. And I try only do that once a month, because
it's... How much you take, like a pea thing?
Just like a little pea-sized amount.
That, just eat it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Children's Health Defense are not giving out medical advice.
Right.
Paula, don't I get excited. This is not something that Children's Health Defense even talk about. But this is this lady's story and her right to say what makes her feel better. Viewers, you choose what's right for you. Again, Children's Health Defense, not... standing by this, or it's not their thoughts, or whatever.
Okay, all right, well, you get the idea. So, again, on ivermectin, the horse paste, she didn't get the apple-flavored horse paste. I'm sure it's not as bad as what she described, but the apple-flavored makes it tolerable. I'm just very curious, at this point, in this horrible nightmare, why Mike Yeadon has turned 180 and is now... a warrior against ivermectin when he should be talking about dozens of other things. I find that not a coincidence.
It seems he's working hard to cover up the fact that this was a bioweapon created in a lab, and it's separate and apart from the vaccine, the injections. There was a virus. There still is a virus.
Oh, you bet.
That is not natural, and that is... now endemic in this population because of what they've done. And we don't know what the long-term consequences of being repeatedly exposed to this. It isn't looking good.
No, and the more times you get this virus, it does seem to be a question of compounding issues. We've heard that,
One of the things that was so intriguing about bat coronaviruses, which is... The origin of this thing is that these bats were continually generating variants of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Randomly, just these random recombinations within their bodies.
That's wild.
And I assume they were hoping it's going to do the same thing in humans, but to their own detriment. Bats can apparently live just fine with these things, but these viruses are not native to humans, and they... really are quite devastating, as we're seeing, or they can be made to be quite devastating.
Right, I agree. Okay, that's going to wrap us up here for tonight. Down to 2% on this end, Todd. I'm going to recharge during the break. My battery's acting up lately. Strange. A little note came in from the Democratic National Convention. Thank you for sending this. Sleeko, I think it is. Boy, is Hillary Clinton on fire tonight, speaking at the DNC. So sit back, watch the freak show, friends, and be careful out there. This is what this whole program is about. Shedding is real. when you go into a market, I only see one or two masks when I go out shopping. Put a mask on. That's our recommendation for you. It's not going to hurt you. 20 minutes in the store, and then you take it off. All right? And we also recommend light pair of cotton gloves. Just keep them in the car. Put those on, too. One of the dirtiest things you come into contact with is the handle on your shopping cart. Think about it. Okay, young lady, thank you. Talk soon.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay, gang, we'll be right back with more in just a few minutes.